Planktos Corporation is just the latest incarnation arising from a confusing number of shell companies associated with CEO Russell George and his major financial backer in Vancouver, Canada. It's way beyond my expertise, but nothing escapes the wary eye of Vancouver Sun financial columnist David Baines. David, we're honored to have you on the program.
Well, thank you very much. That's a flattering comment you make about nothing escaping me. In fact, a lot escapes me. Unfortunately, there are 8 million stories in the Naked City.
Well, Russell George assures me his company is legit because it is traded on the stock market, but this isn't a regular market. What is the OTC bulletin board market?
Well, it's not a stock exchange in the sense that we know it. For example, the Toronto Stock Exchange, if you have a company that you want to get listed on it, you have to apply. You have to meet certain financial criteria. There are certain maintenance, listing and maintenance requirements. You have to have invested so much. You have to have a certain shareholder distribution, and you have to follow the rules of the stock exchange. And your trading is subject to scrutiny by Market Regulation Services, which is the regulatory body which oversees trading on Canadian exchanges. So all of this is absent in the bulletin board. The bulletin board is just basically a place where it's an over-the-counter market where you can post bids or asks for stock and trade it through a quotation system, an electronic quotation system. So it's an electronic system rather than a proper stock exchange.
So it's a bit of a Wild West with a lot less regulation. Is that the idea?
Oh, yes. Well, you have to make certain requisite filings with the SEC. You have to file financial statements. Up until a few years ago, you didn't even have to do that. But financial statements and press releases and so on have to be filed. But I'll tell you, there's so much nonsense that goes on in this exchange, and just because you filed a piece of nonsense with the SEC doesn't make it any less nonsensical. It's a magnet for fraudsters, for frauds and fraudsters, and in particular, Vancouver promoters love this as a forum for their trading, and particularly since the regulators clamped down on illicit dealing in Vancouver. There's been a bit of a cleanup. The TSX Venture Exchange now is much cleaner than the old Vancouver Exchange, or a lot less ridiculous, let's say. And so promoters have found new, more hospitable markets down south in the form of the OTC bulletin board.
Well, I asked Mr. George who controls Planktos. His answer was a little evasive at first, but it led back to a Nevada-based company with offices here in British Columbia called Solar Energy Limited. What can you tell us about that company?
Well, Solar is the vehicle, which is the manager of Solar is Nelson Scalbania, and he is also one of the largest shareholders. It's basically a shell company. It doesn't really have an active business. It is the vehicle through which Planktos has become public and will and is publicly trading.
Is it a problem that Nelson Scalbania is involved?
Well, it depends who you're talking to. I mean, I've been following Nelson for many years, and it's very fair to say that he's had a very checkered career. You may recall during the big real estate boom in the early 80s, he was one of the real estate one of the big real estate flippers in Vancouver and elsewhere. He was very highly levered. When the market collapsed, so did he, and he left a lot of creditors high and dry. He then became involved in a whole series of Vancouver Stock Exchange companies. These are classic penny stocks that promised much and delivered little or nothing. And then there was more serious problems that he got into with the police. And at one juncture, he was charged with stealing $100,000 out of, I believe he was associated with a real estate company or ran a real estate company, and he had taken money out of trust for his personal purposes. He had, in fact, returned that money, but nevertheless, the violation had occurred, and he was prosecuted and convicted of that. And as I recall, he served 1 year with one of these electronic ankle monitoring bracelets.
But, you know, I met Nelson Scalbania by accident back in the early 90s, and even then I questioned him about the environment. He was interested in it. He has been trying to develop these companies. Do you suppose it's possible that he really has a green streak in him as well?
Well, I found it really quite interesting because when I went to meet him, I mean, he was very open and receptive, and he seemed genuinely enthusiastic about this Plankdose and the whole business that they were entering into. He seemed sold on the science. Indeed, I was struck with his earnestness. But, you know, on the other hand, that's a sign of a good promoter that can, promote a whole variety of different projects with different economic potential with equal zeal.
Well, it looks like another of George's companies, and related to Mr. Scalbania, D2 Fusion, may be headed for obscurity. This year it failed to deliver a rumored product, a multi-kilowatt home heater using fusion energy. And last February, a company named Shadow Marketing claimed to have purchased D2 Fusion, but now it's been apparently sold to another shell company called Enwin Resources, which is also based in Vancouver. And yet, you know, just a few days ago I talked with Russell George, and he promised major new announcements for D2 Fusion coming up real soon. What do you make of this company?
Well, really, I don't make too much of it. I've been focusing on Plankdose. I'm aware of the D2 Fusion, that there are developments in that area. But Plankdose has been the enterprise which has been garnering all the attention and has not only Mr. George, but Mr. Scalbania at its center.
And there's been a lot of news stories about it, but in two columns in the Vancouver Sun, you've advised investors to be careful about getting involved with Plankdose.
Oh, well, I think that's always good advice, no matter what stock you're getting involved in. But there are clear red flags when you're talking specifically about Plankdose. And one is the method of promotion. The Plankdose is being promoted by one of these dreadful newsletter writers in the States who they use hysterically hyperbolic language to try to hype the stock and to induce investors to buy it. In this case, it's a fellow, this U.S. newsletter writer, his name is Remo Sabine Jr., and he's editor-in-chief of this tout sheet called Ground Floor Stocks. And he talks about, it uses language now, there's no time to wait, get fat now or fight for the scraps. Global Warming Inc., that's what Wall Street insiders will call Plankdose as sales of its carbon credits send it soaring from $1.25 to $30. So there you go. You better move quickly if you want to cash in on this bonanza. So, and if you look at the disclaimer, it's finance. It's part of a $250,000 U.S. Public relations campaign that's financed by a company called Profit Ridge Investments. Now, we don't know who Profit Ridge is, and I asked Nelson Scalbania, and he said his exact quote response was, "I don't know and I don't care." Well, I do care, because we're supposed to believe that this is some interested third party who wants to get the word out, but too often these third-party financiers are insiders, the insiders themselves, or people who are very related closely to the insiders, and so it's not an arm's-length kind of promotion. It provides an opportunity for insiders to dump their stock. Now, I'm not saying that's happened here. I'm saying that's been the pattern in the past.
Well, as a neophyte looking through the Planktos security filings, I was perplexed. It seems like there are two companies, both named Planktos. One is Planktos Inc. and the other Planktos Corp. One buys the other, but all the same people are involved. And somewhere along the line, another company, Diatom, appears and disappears. Why all the shifting company names and apparently internal trades among the same people?
There could be a variety of reasons. Usually, it's this kind of jockeying goes on to make sure that the asset gets into the vehicle which has the most advantageous share structure for the insiders. Again, I'm not saying that's what goes on. What's happening here, but that is usually quite often the case.
We're speaking with Vancouver Sun columnist David Baines. David, it seems like every day I see a story about a new multi-million dollar fund looking to buy carbon credits. My reading is the principals could make a lot of money if they could hold on long enough, and their financial filings look a little rocky. A lot of publicity, but so far, no revenues. Do you think they can hang on?
No, I don't. So far, the company has announced that... And I thought this was a little, I wasn't very impressed with this. The Planktos announced that a Vancouver hotel, the Wedgwood Hotel, had agreed to buy sufficient carbon credits to offset its emissions for the next 10 years. And the first thing is there was no disclosure of the fact that the Wedgwood Hotel belongs to Eleni Skalbania, who is Nelson Skalbania's wife. Secondly, there was no disclosure as to what this meant in dollars and cents. Skalbania subsequently told me that the Wedgwood had agreed to buy sufficient carbon credits to offset their estimated 500 tons of carbon dioxide the hotel emits each year. For the next 10 years. So 500 tons, Nelson told me that the cost, they had agreed to pay $5 per ton. So that's only $2,500 per year. Now that's chump change. That won't take you anywhere. Then the company announced some weeks later in very grand style that the Vatican had agreed to take some of these carbon credits, and but that was just a donation, and it was on account of the forests which the company plans to plant in Hungary, as opposed to the whole business of seeding the plankton blooms off the Galapagos. So the Vatican was staying away from the very controversial aspect of this company. So the company's got to come up with some money if it's not generating revenues, or more critically, cash flow. It's got to come up with some money elsewhere, and that means either going to the equity markets or trying to get some private debt or getting some equity, and that's a tough road to hoe. This thing hasn't proved as promotable as I thought it was going to be. The stock has gone up as high as $1.60. It's trading at a buck now. That's for a total market capitalization of about $80 million. And I don't think the volume's been very exceptional, so the opportunities for the promoters to make money hasn't been as great as I thought.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about Planktos?
Well, I just think that there is a more general message to be conveyed here. As concerns about global warming heighten, and interest in all things green becomes more intense, chances are that we'll get more and more investment offerings in the green area, carbon, whether it's carbon credits or devices, internal combustion engines with, you know, new and improved emission control devices within them, you know, that kind of thing. We're likely to get more and more dubious offerings in this area. And so the investor, I think, has to be even more discerning and discriminating when they're making their investment choices.
Well, there you go. Expert opinion from a man who's seen it all, David Baines, the investigative columnist for the Vancouver Sun. David, we really appreciate your help on this intriguing case.
Thank you for inviting me.
EcoShock Radio, broadcast and podcast. Find us on the web at ecoshock.org.